All right, guys, this is Jen and AJ, and we wanted to let you know that this podcast episode is a little special because we are talking about the promises of the cross and praying the promises of the cross. We're doing that together, studiohub.com/promises. If you're not already doing it with us, go join us. However, this particular promise comes out of Romans 8, which is one of the most, if not the most beautiful chapter in all of the Bible. And spoiler alert, we are studying this in the month of March in Sojo Academy. So if you want a little deeper into this particular chapter, which trust me, you do, you want to join us right now at sojoacademy.com. Come on, and we look forward to seeing you inside.
Absolutely. We'll see you there.
Welcome to the Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. All right, welcome back to the Sojo Show. I am here with AJ. Well, not in person,
no.
But we are here and we have a, I was going to say fun episode, but I don't know.
They're all fun.
So before we get started into the episode, I have a question for AJ, of course, as always. And are you ready?
Okay. Yes. Just okay, do it.
This is an interesting question. Give me your knowledge, your information. What do you know about zombies? Zombies. Or vampires, either way.
Whoa. Okay.
Vampires, zombies. And this is not October. We should be doing this in October. But tell me about zombies.
Well, it's a good thing it isn't October, because if it were, you guys would be sadly disappointed in my answer. You'd be expecting to get your terrors and your chills. And I'm sorry, I just can't deliver that. But
are they scary? Are zombies scary?
I think they're supposed to be scary, and they're supposed to be like dead people who aren't really dead and who will never die or go away. So
I think you can't kill them though.
I don't know. Can you kill a zombie?
I think you can't chop off their head.
Okay. Well, I think it depends on like the show and or the game
lore
you're playing. So that's really the extent I know, other than when my kids play this game called Plants versus Zombies. I think that may be around still. I really have no idea. I do remember something about like eating the brains. The zombies can eat your brains.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right. So I think about like for those of you who've ever, I mean, I've never watched The Walking Dead. I do not, all right, full disclosure, I do not like being scared ever. It's not my thing. So I don't ever watch anything about zombies or vampires or any of that nonsense. But I forgot about the brain bit.
Really? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I was like, really? Okay, that's kind of gross. Okay. But yeah.
So bottom line is neither one of us know a whole lot about zombies. And except that we do know, as you mentioned, they are sort of not dead and not alive. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And kind of the same thing with like vampires. They're like undead, I think is what they call them. They're not dead. Yeah. They're not alive. Right. So this is obviously fiction. It's folklore. And for those of you going, oh, they're talking about Halloween. Oh, they're good. No, we understand. We understand. It's totally fiction. And we're not really into it. However, the important thing to notice is in this particular fiction, they're not dead and they're not alive. The same thing with like ghosts and ghouls and all of the things. Right. But in real life, this is not the truth, right?
That's right.
We are dead or we are alive, right? Yep. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, and this is a little bit of a silly example, obviously, is here's the cool thing. Art and all of these stories that go back, I don't even know when, I don't know who the first person was that wrote a story about a zombie or a vampire or any of that kind of stuff, but they did it because we seem to be a little bit fascinated with life and death, obviously. And one of the really cool things and the important things to note is this is actually a spiritual, it's a spiritual theme, like the most important of all spiritual themes, this idea of life and death. So I'm pulling this back around because we are currently going through the praying the promises of the cross. And for those of you who are with us, you understand, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not with us, go to sojohub.com/promises, sign up for the free challenge. We're doing it now if you're listening to us live, but if you're not listening to us live, you can still sign up for the challenge. And we're praying through the promises of the cross. And one of the promises that we have, and we focus on a particular word each time, with each verse. And one of the promises we have is found in Romans 8, 10, and 11. So I'm going to read that really quickly. And then we are going to talk about the promise. So Romans 8, 10 and 11, let me find it. Okay. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit, which dwells in you. So there's a lot of life and dead in those two verses. So let's boil that down a little bit and let's talk about this word. We're going to kind of condense it down to one word, which is alive, which is the promise that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is such a powerful concept in scripture. When you compare this promise to Romans 6, I think we get a little bit clearer of a view of what we're actually made alive to. Because that's the question, like, okay, well, we're dead, now we're alive. What does that really mean? And Romans 6 gives us a little bit more context into what it does mean. It says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we are now dead to sin, and we are made alive to God. That means we are quickened spiritually to the things of God on a spiritual level that we were not aware of before. We could not fulfill or live out before. We could not obey the commands of God. We could not understand the spiritual dimension, the spiritual realities that are around us. We were oblivious, like the world is. We were oblivious to those things. But now when we are in Christ, we are awakened to spiritual realities and the spiritual dimension, and we are awakened to obey the things of God and his commands. And that is significant when you think about it. You know, we don't have to rely on morality to do what's right. We don't have to rely on the law to keep ourselves in line. We are literally awakened and alive to the things of God because of Christ Jesus in us.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to go back to the first part of that and be reminded that before we are alive, before we are made alive, we are dead in our sins. And both of those passages say that, and it says it all throughout the Word of God. We are dead in our sins. And I think it's really important to remember that, because that is where, if you are currently in Christ, if you're trusting in the work of Christ on the cross, you are now alive, but you were once dead, right? It is important to recognize that we were dead in our sins. And as such, we could not save ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, honestly, when you are not alive, when you are dead, a dead man cannot save himself. He cannot reach for the water. He cannot reach for the medicine. He cannot reach for the paddles to start his heart again. He cannot do any of that. He is fully dependent. I mean, he can't do anything. And the cool thing is that's where we were. We could not save ourselves. But God, that's one of the coolest phrases in the entire Bible, but God reached in and rescued us and saved us and made us alive So now we are in Christ. He is in us. And as AJ mentioned, we were dead in our sin. And now we are alive in Christ. And that is, y'all, if you could just wrap your brain around that for half a second, it would be enough to require you to worship and to praise the one who did that for you.
Yes. That's right. That's right. That's the only response. And going back to Romans 6, because I love how it ties in with our passage in Romans 8, it says that count yourselves. That means consider yourself. This is the way we are to think about ourselves. We are to be very deliberate in the way we think about ourselves, because a lot of times the life around us or the temptation within us or our failures, our limitations, all of those things tell us a message contrary to the fact that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. But this is the way we are to think about ourselves. We are to constantly put ourselves within this parameter of being made alive to Christ, because it is what he has done on our behalf. It is not something that we do. Like Jen said, we do not bring the paddles to our own heart to wake it up. It is something that God has done for us. And then reading on in Romans 6, it says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so therefore, offer yourself as an instrument unto God, made alive to him. So back to the worship again. Here we are. We are able to say, I present myself to you, God, as an instrument to righteousness, to use in your hands as one made alive to the things of God Almighty. So, wow, that's heavy. That's a lot to think on.
Yeah. And because of that, we can look forward. Number one, we can look forward to eternity with great joy. And we can look forward to the things that are to come when we understand this. And then the promises of eternity become so much more real. But also, we are then spurred on to do things here in this life, good works in this life that will point others to this truth, right? It's just all throughout scripture. It's all throughout scripture that this is what we're now commanded to do. And before we can do anything good that points anyone to Christ, we have to understand this for ourselves. It's relatively simple concept, but it is so deep that sometimes it's hard to grasp.
Yeah.
You know, in Galatians 2:20, when he says that I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's going even beyond. So, you know, in Galatians, in this letter, Paul's going even beyond kind of our current analogy and saying that he was crucified with Christ. And so were we. So that was that whole, he is in us, we are in him. Christ now lives in us. And that's why we are alive and why we can live by faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, another thing that really stands out to me with our Romans 8, 10, 11 passage is it says it's the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. That's the same spirit that is making us alive to God. And if you ever wonder, okay, is the Lord really powerful in me? Is this really something that has any sort of oomph, any sort of muscle behind it? You know, just think about what it took to raise Jesus from the dead. And that is the same spirit that we have in us, enabling us to live for his honor and his glory and to fulfill the roles and responsibilities on a day-to-day basis that he has given us. Now, a lot of times we are very weak, and we've talked about this in our past episodes, but it is in our very weakness that his strength, just like the body of Jesus was weak and dead, you know, it is in that very weakness that Christ and the Spirit shows up in us and empowers and enables us for what he has given us to do. And so if you ever need that visual, just go back to what it took at the resurrection. And that's the same power that is enabling us.
Yeah. And because of that, if you read a little bit further, verses 12 through 17, you will see in Romans 8 that we now are joint heirs with Christ because of that. And so that is something that we can stand on and we can understand. Well, we may not understand, but we can be very, very confident in, because the Spirit himself, that Spirit that AJ was talking about, you know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It says in verse 16. Mm-hmm. So we are then claimed. We are not only just alive, which in and of itself is wonderful. It's enough. We're alive, but we are now claimed by the Father of light. We are now joint heirs with Christ. We have the same inheritance as Christ. And we have discussed many of the promises that are in this 40-day challenge just as we're talking. But it's important to be reminded of these on a regular basis, because I can keep going. Verse 18, my favorite verse in the Bible, I believe, Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. So because of all this, I was dead in my sin. I'm now alive because of the Spirit, because of the strength of God. I'm now, Christ is in me. I am in him. Because of that, I'm joined heirs with Christ. And one day I will see a glory beyond comparison of anything that I have seen on this earth. No suffering on this earth, which there is a ton of it in your life and in the world in general, none of it compares to the glory we will one day see. And we can bank on that. We can bank on that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And guys, you know, I don't know if you're like me right now, but just thinking about these truths fires me up, number one, and makes me, number two, want to frame my life in the picture of these promises. So put my life within the context of the promises of God and what we see here in these passages and say, okay, how then do I need to live right now? How then do I need to rely on the Spirit of God right now? How can this transform my day today, how I relate with those around me, the choices that I have in front of me, the energy that I have to offer others who may need it? Like, how does this affect me now? And the answer is a lot. It brings a lot of resources to my life, knowing that Jesus Christ and the power that rose him from the dead is in me, and not just for now, but like Jen said, for eternity. So I hope that everybody listening to this just gets a glimpse and a taste of what I have today, because this really fires me up.
Yeah, absolutely. So join us. We're going to be talking about the promises. Okay, we're going to be doing this for a while. If you're listening to us live, we're going to be doing this all the way till Easter and probably beyond, because it's just kind of what we do. And we invite you to join us. So join us in our Praying the Promises of the Cross. This particular verse in Romans 8 is one of those promises. And there are many, obviously. We've chosen 40. We could have chosen probably 400. But that this is where we are going to be focusing on who we are in Christ and who he is and the goodness of the gospel, the beauty of the gospel, the glory of God. And we invite you to join us. Go to sojohub.com/promises and you can join us for free. And we hope that you also listen as we continue to discuss this on the podcast over the next few weeks.
Yes, we're so glad to have you, and we hope you are praying the promises with us.
Bye. Hey, friend, it's Jen.
And AJ.
And we have a quick favor to ask.
If we have made you smile on this podcast,
or encouraged you in any way,
or hey, if you're just a kind person,
will you take a moment to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast?
It takes just a second, but it helps others decide whether to listen to this show or not.
Also, if you're on Apple, please drop us a review. We'd love to hear from you in this way.
Thank you so much. And here's a virtual fist bump coming your way.
Fist bump.